This is my story, praising my Savior. I want to thank Reverend Melanie for allowing me again to be in her space today. I also have friends and family visiting with us today. Could all my friends and family stand? Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Make sure you sign. There is a guest book. Make sure you sign in those guest books. I also want to thank the worship team, the staff at Nardin Park, and of course our guest musician and the chancel choir. Thank you. Thank you for all you do to lift us up. I also want to thank the people of Nardin Park. You give me bread daily. You feed me with bread daily. You've been very supportive, and you continue to show me your love as I learn from you. So thank you, the people of Nardin Park. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Reverend Melanie reminded us about our baptism. When we enter a covenant of baptism, we hope to live and do things God has planned for us to do. Today, I bring a message of hope and faith, and this is found in Luke 8:43-48, which was so eloquently read by our own Andy. Hope is a word of optimism, the expectation that we look forward with the anticipation to the future. Yet, many people have lost hope. Some are hopeless about specific areas such as families, marriages, children, health, jobs, and so on and so forth. But others, these emotions permit them as their entire lives. They exist but have no hopes. Some people exist, but they have no hope, no dreams, no goal. But this is not what God intended us to live. God created us to live with a purpose, working towards goals and feelings of sense of anticipation for the future. That's how God wants us to live. In a little village in Africa, there was a woman who had 8 children. Living in extreme poverty, this woman wondered how she was going to raise her 8 children on nothing. She would work on people's farms just to raise 50 cents to feed her entire family. She tried, but her children were starving. She worked from farm to farm, searching just for little food. She worked in scorching sun the whole day, digging with the hoe just to be paid something to feed her children. She would be given a little bowl of beans, and instead of her eating those beans, she would bring those beans home to the 2 younger children who were left home starving. And she would just drink water and go to bed. So one day she decided to give up her children to various relatives with the hope that her children would get something to eat. Can you imagine? You want to let your children go and live with the neighbors and relatives so that they can just get some food. 6 of our children were distributed to relatives to work for them in exchange of food. This woman was my mom. I was left home with my younger sister because I was so sick and my mom did not know what to do with me. I had a small boil on my head. It just started like a ringworm. But it grew up into a very large wound. My mother tried for me to get medical attention, but it was so difficult. We had no insurance. We had no money for anything. My mother would travel with me for 10 miles to public clinics with the hope that they would give me some medicine or injection to stop the pain that I was having. But all they could give her would be 1 to 2 aspirins. And we would walk back home in the scorching sun and temperatures, very dehydrated. I could see pain in my mother's eyes. I could see hopelessness in my mother's eyes. I could see my mother just giving up on me. I could feel my mother's pain all the time, and my health was deteriorating. My mother made me wear a headscarf. My mother would say, "My daughter, you have to cover the wound." And my mother told me, "I have to wear the headscarf." This is how I lived. She wanted me to wear the headscarf, not because of religious beliefs, not because of cultural beliefs, but because my mom did not want people to see my wound that was eating my head. She didn't want people to run away from that wound that was eating my head. She didn't want me to be isolated from the community. She wanted me to live a life like young other girls in the village. Finally, my grandfather and my grandmother, whom I named my daughter Lena after my grandmother, she decided to take me to her home. She told my mother that I have to go and live with her. What a joy it was for me. I was so happy to go and live with my grandmother because I knew my grandmother had so much food and I was going to eat over there a lot of bananas. In Kenya, we cook a lot of bananas, green bananas. So I was so excited that I'm not going to starve anymore if I only lived with my grandmother. At this point, I wasn't going to school. Hence, I could not even go to kindergarten. I started it very late. I was so malnourished that nobody could guess my age because I was so little. It was not long when my grandmother went to the bushes, looked after leaves, dry leaves. She would chew those leaves and apply on my wound. It took so many months, and before you knew it, the wound started to heal. I was healed. I came back from my grandmother's house and started school in my own village. My mother was my best friend and my security. She never ceased to pray and sing. She always assembled children from the neighborhood to teach them Sunday school under a tree. We didn't have a sanctuary like this. We didn't have a building where the children could come and learn the word of God. My mother just wanted to teach children about this man
Jesus. She just wanted the children to know about this man, Jesus. 12 years of suffering gave me hope. It reminded me that Jesus loves me so much. I was loved then, and I'm still loved today. I believed that if Jesus could heal the sick, I was one of them. The story of Jesus and the bleeding woman gives us hope. The story of the woman with blood, with the bleeding blood that you heard read eloquently, this story is a story of hope. This story, in fact, is found within another larger story. Here, Jesus is on his way going to the synagogue at the leader's home, Jairus. He is going there to help heal this daughter, Jairus' daughter, who's dying. When an unnamed woman causes interruption in Jesus' progress. You can imagine when you are ready going to do something and somebody stops to interrupt you. How do you feel when you get that interruption? But listen to this. What do we know about this woman? First, she had a bleeding condition. And the issue continued for 12 years. 12 years. That is a very long time. Second, she had spent all her life, all her money, trying to get healed. In fact, her blood condition was even getting worse. We also know that the Jewish law declared to be a law that was very tough on matters. This meant that they would not permit this woman to enter the temple because they thought she was unclean. Also, the fact that she was somebody they could not relate to, they would consider her unclean. So according to the law, the Jewish law, anything or anyone she touched, if this woman touched anybody, that person would be unclean. Well, the fact that she was in the crowd pressing around Jesus means that each person she bumped into would become unclean, including Jesus. But after 12 years of suffering, when she obviously was desperate for a miracle, this woman, she knew she can never live like that anymore. So when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and just touched the hem of Jesus' cloth. Because she thought, if I just touch this cloth, I will be healed. As soon as the woman touches Jesus' blood, the blood stops. The bleeding stopped. As soon as this woman touched Jesus' hair. And she knows she has been healed. Immediately, Jesus does not know who touched him. This proves the power of Christ, of course. But it also illustrates how important the point about Jesus and the law is. In Leviticus 15:31, God says, you must keep the Israelites separate from things that make them unclean, so they will not die in their uncleanness for defiling my dwelling place, which is among them.
This is in the Old Testament. The temple was where God's dwelling among the Israelites, but in the New Testament, God dwelt among men in person of Jesus Christ. This is found in John 1:14. Through Jesus, the penalties of the law are reversed. You remember the Israelites said, if you are unclean, they didn't want you. They were closing doors for you. But this is not in the case of Jesus. Through Jesus, things are different. The law had reversed things that they don't want to eat with those who are unclean, those who are dirty, those who are sick, those who are not fit to be with them. The woman did not make to be clean, or the woman didn't want to be unclean anymore. The woman did not make Jesus unclean as the people thought. Jesus made the woman clean. Jesus immediately responds to the woman who touched his clothing. People were pushing and pressing into him from all over the place. Yet, Jesus stops and turns and looks to see who touched him. He asks, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples were skeptical. They're like, "You asking with all this crowd, how are we going to know? There's so many people here, and you're asking us about this?" Jesus knew that the healing power had gone away, and he wanted to make sure the person who touched him came clean. You know, we cannot steal a miracle from God. God gives it to us. After that woman, she comes forward and explains herself. Jesus clears her up any misconceptions about her healing. And Jesus says this, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from all your suffering." God is moved to action by faith, even when he is in the middle of doing something else. He watches us. He listens to us. God will listen when you have that faith. When you have that little faith, like a mustard seed, God will listen to you. God will listen to anyone who has that little faith, like this woman here. Jesus could have just healed this woman quietly and kept on going to his original destination, whereby he was going to Jairus' house. Only him and the woman would have known what had taken place. But he didn't do that. Why? Jesus stopped what he was doing and acknowledged the result of this woman. Jesus had to stop and acknowledge the faith this woman had. The woman had such big faith that Jesus said, "I got one here who is so faithful." As a result, Jesus heals this woman immediately because of her faith. How is your faith? If you were to rate your faith, would you say your faith is number 1, number 5, or number 10? How is your faith? Rate your faith. When all hope is gone, there is peace in Christ. This woman suffered for 12 years, but she did not give up her hope. "I suffered for 12 years wearing a scarf on my head. I did not give up hope. I made sure I kneeled down and prayed. I would go in dark corners of the house and pray, God, heal me. My mother did the same thing. The woman prayed every morning, every evening. I promise God, if you just let me leave, I will make you proud. That was my promise to God back in Africa. Various lives and circumstances cause people to have a sense of hopelessness. Some things just make us become hopeless. Sometimes this feeling is not as a result of anything wrong we've done, but rather it seizes some hopelessness that comes to show us how strong we should trust in God. How much faith we have in Christ. Jesus continues to teach and heal because that was his mission. Sometimes so many of us get caught up in the middle of things. We become miserable over small, small things. We become hopeless just because it's snowing outside. We look in the window, we say, it's snowing, I'm not going out. Those are little things. We look at our windows, we say, you know what? I'm not going to drive. How about if you walk 10 miles to get where you want to go? I believe when we are focused and lean onto God, all things are possible. Says Philippians 4:13. My journey has taught me so many things, and I know your journey has taught you so many things as well. My journey has taught me that I can be who I want to be through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. The story of the woman with the bleeding issues reminds us Jesus is with us when we just simply believe. There is nothing that we can give to God except ourselves. Trust yourself to God. He wants you. He wants to take care of you and be everything. That's what God says. He wants total surrender from you and from me. He wants total surrender of your life to bring an awesome peace with God. The peace that surpasses understanding. We are reminded that we are to live sanctified lives. God will do the work to sanctify us. We are simply to put our trust in God and hang on to the vine. And he'll do the work. Simple. Give it up to God. The disciples asked Jesus in the Gospel of John 6:29, what must we do to be working for God? The disciples are asking Jesus this. What should they do in order to be working for God? And guess what? Jesus answered them. This is the work that is service. This is the work that God asks you, that believe in one whom he sent. God sent his only begotten son for us to believe in him. No wonder that woman knew if she could only believe in Jesus, she was going to be healed. The woman believed in God and she knew Jesus was her only answer to her issues. Believing God enables us to live with ease and joy and peace. Let me remind you, believing in God, it releases us to live in joy and peace. Try it. You will see it. When all hope is gone, there is peace in Christ. When we turn unto God, there is peace. I want to let you know that you can turn nothing, nothing into something. Those little things you have in the baggage that you think are big issues, my friend, they are nothing. They are nothing. So therefore, my brothers and my sisters, you know, if you want to make God laugh, just tell God your plans. Isaiah 29:11 says, I have the plans for you. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He already has plans for you. He's not going to harm you. He's not going to harm your family. He's going to be with you because his plans for you are right there. All you need to do, my friend, is just to trust him. He's just to call on him. Jesus has the answers when things go wrong, even when things go good. He will stop right there and heal you when you call on him. Jesus is waiting for you to call on him. Are you going to call on him when you need him? He's waiting. Just call on him. And when you call him, he responds. He will hear you. He will hear you. He will hear you just now. Just now. He will hear you. He will hear you just now. He will heal you. He will heal you. He will heal you just now. Just now, he will heal you. He will heal you. Just now, he will heal you. He will heal you. He will heal you. Just now, just now, he will heal you. He will heal you. Just now. So my brothers, Jesus will heal you. Just now, if you have that faith. So when all hope is gone, keep calm and pray. When all hope is gone, have joy and praise him. When all hope is gone, thank God every day, my brother. Every hour and every day. When all hope is gone, love your enemies. And keep marching forward. When all hope is gone, forgive them, those who wrong you. When all hope is gone, share the little you have. When all hope is gone, praise God. He will hear you. When all hope is gone, believe in him. He will deliver you. When all hope is gone, lean on him. He is the everlasting arm. When all hope is gone, there is peace in Christ. Amen. Amen.